I'm in this Facebook group that should be called the echo chamber, and but there's nothing wrong with that, because I've been thinking a lot about the echo chamber. This is going to be a little side path, but I'm coming back to the main story.
You always do, Katie.
I always do. I always bring it up. I tie it up tight.
You really do.
So it is really important, I think, to have safe spaces where it's like a population of people that you feel you can trust, who are going to agree with you on most things. And that's not where you get your news. That's where you get your fun, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's where you get your fun stuff. You go find the people who are into the same things you're into. And I'm in this group on Facebook. And the thing that we're all into in this group on Facebook is making fun of stupid dudes. And it's not stupid like, oh, he's not that bright, but stupid, like dudes doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of screenshots of Tinder exchanges
in this group,
which is really fun, with like names blacked out.
Well, that's kind of fun too, because they're single, some of these ladies. So you get to see what life is like in that world.
I do, and it terrifies me.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like stories of like stupid things that people have said, funny things that people have said, weird text conversations. It's just a place where we all go and we share funny gifts of like eye-rolling responses, and we roast these people, and they're never aware of it, and we enjoy it, and it's all anonymous, and it's super fun, right?
Yes.
So my echo chamber got a little less echoey the other day, because this woman posted a thing on there, and she said, I work in this store, and I was ringing somebody up, and it was a pregnant woman, a visibly pregnant woman, and when she opened her handbag to pay, I noticed that she had cigarettes and a vape in her handbag. And I didn't say anything, but now I really feel like I should have said something. What do you guys think? Should I have said something? So, Ronit, before I tell you what happened in this group, I'm curious. Would you have said something?
I would not have said anything.
No, because you're not a fucking asshole.
Well, not only that.
I showed my hand a little early.
Well.
Sorry.
Katie.
I didn't draw out the suspense.
You have no poker face. You have no poker voice.
I have none. I was like, what would you do?
Yeah, and now you're angry and you're taking off your outer layer.
Yeah, I took off my long sleeve shirt. It's 74
degrees. Well, so I at first thought, what would I do? But then there's no way. There's no way anyone alive in this time and place would not know that it's bad to smoke or have, you know, whatever, tobacco when you're pregnant. I mean, there's no surprise there. It's not like saying, did you know that you're about to enter an open pit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not for her. It's for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can feel like the better person and you can feel like you saved the baby. So what happened in this group was the group suddenly turned on itself, because like half the group is like, I definitely would have said something because my mom smoked when she was pregnant with me, and I have asthma and I have all kinds of health complications because of it. And then someone was like, well, I really hope that you're able to have a relationship with your mom. And then it was like, she shouldn't be forced to have a relationship with her mom. And it was just like,
so what's the opposite of an echo chamber?
It was peak internet. Is what it was.
Okay.
It was peak interneting. I was on the team of people who were like, of course you shouldn't say something. Like, it's not your body. It's not your business. You have no idea what this woman's story is. You have no idea what treatment plan she's been prescribed by a doctor. No, I'm not saying a doctor was like, and you should smoke 3 cigarettes a day. But they do say that if you're a smoker and you get pregnant, that quitting can be harmful to the baby. It can cause miscarriage.
Which I did not know.
And I didn't know that either.
Because
but
it's so
it
jarring,
up.
The withdrawal from nicotine.
Because it's stressful in your body to withdraw from
now,
nicotine.
Now, I picked up a little breadcrumb in what you were saying just now about it's no one's business but her own body and her own plan.
Yeah.
But I want to add, before we branch off into the larger picture and go macro, I have a little micro over here.
Oh my God.
Skip over here with me. I was pregnant with my second child, and I was at a health club that had a pool, and me and my friend, we were both pregnant, and we went swimming in the pregnant class. Well, no, it was an old person's class for swimming. No, it was a swimming class that a lot of old people frequented, and we
and
were like,
pregnant ladies.
Well, now you're pregnant, and we will go there. But there was a hot tub, and so I sat down in the hot tub. I was pregnant by maybe 7 months, 8 months, and I didn't sit all the way in the hot tub. I just kind of like, you know.
You were sitting on a seat. Your butt was in the hot tub.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
I
was sitting there a little nervous, like, is this an okay thing, but I'm going to do this because I really love hot tubs. And my toddler was with me. And then this older woman, like not even in the class older woman, it said to me, you know, that's very dangerous for your baby, how you're sitting in the hot tub like that. And I still a little more docile than maybe I am now. And I was sort of like,
an older person who's like an authority figure
she must
in your
know.
Mind some way.
And I was questioning it anyway. And then I will tell you something. I, for the rest of my pregnancy, not every day, not every night, I didn't have nightmares. I wondered if I had made a grave mistake in just dipping up until my thighs and my tush, you know, maybe a little bit up to my pubic bone. And I was like, oh, my God, I just boiled my baby's head.
Oh, my God. That makes me so angry because I totally relate to that.
I want to say that I did not boil my baby's head. The baby's fine.
I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad to hear that.
But I really worried and I thought all the time it was sort of a question mark over my head. If I were in a comic strip, I just have a big question mark, dot, dot, dot.
This is like, did the lady at the pool think that she cared more about your baby than you do? Or did she just think you were a fucking idiot?
Well, I think sometimes people think they know better. I do think sometimes people think they know better, like...
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Tuba music.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Brett Kavanaugh.
Wait.
No?
What? You're listening to Mouthy, Messy, Mandatory. I'm Ronit.
And I'm Katie.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh. I want to call him Brit.
Okay, I won't even do that pierogi thing because every time I do, you kind of laugh at me a lot.
Well, I'm giving you an opportunity.
Brett Kavanaugh.
I can't do it.
Anyway, so let's talk about him. Supreme Court nominee.
So can we really quickly, I just want to slide some audio in your sweet listen holes here. Because I want to know if you have the same reaction that I do to hearing Donald Trump say these words.
My fellow Americans. Tonight I speak to you from the East Room of the White House.
Because my response is, you are not my fellow American. I do not identify with you in any way. And I want to scream and like icky shivers. Like I feel like I just got checked out by a really skeezy used car salesman in like a sweaty suit. Mm. Like that's how it makes me feel when I hear him say my fellow Americans.
Yeah.
So, but that's
maybe
not...
you like feel like you ate a piece of bologna that went south.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really no, bad. Now like, you got the chills.
No, I feel like the person next to me ate a piece of bologna that went south and now they're breathing their bologna burps on me. That's how it feels. It feels so
disgusting and clammy.
Collateral damage foul is what it feels like to me.
What really I couldn't believe this was that Kavanaugh then came and took the mic and he said this.
Mr. President, thank you. Throughout this process, I've witnessed firsthand your appreciation for the vital role of the American judiciary.
Let's just talk about this. That's the most ridiculous opening statement anyone could make because it's opposite day.
Yeah.
Can you remember all the times that Trump has targeted the judiciary? I mean, it started with the U.S. District Judge Gonzalo Curiel when he made those racially tinged remarks when he was a nominee.
Yes, he was like, well, how can he adjudicate fairly on an issue with brown people? He's a brown person.
And it went on and on. He ripped into the federal judge in Washington State who temporarily blocked enforcement of his travel ban. Then he tweet stormed his displeasure, his rage at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals because it blocked the federal funding from sanctuary jurisdictions.
Respectfully, he tweeted his rage. Respectfully.
Yeah. And then when they watered down his travel ban, he again blasted two federal judges. So of all the opening statements you could make about why you are happy you've been appointed by this person, that seemed to be the most ridiculous.
Yeah. Can we continue with this close reading of this speech? Because I really liked this part. And I said something that was really inappropriate in my car that I'm going to do a G-rated version of here for you today.
You said it to yourself?
And it is when Kavanaugh, I have to stop doing that, Kavanaugh says...
Kavanaugh.
I have two spirited daughters, Margaret and Liza. Margaret loves sports and she loves to read. Liza loves sports... and she loves to talk.
And you know what I said in my car? You know what else they're gonna like eventually?
Oh, no.
Sex.
Oh, that's fine, yeah.
They're gonna like sex. Mm-hmm. And you know what sometimes happens? If they decide that they're gonna have sex with men, you know what sometimes happens to girls who have sex with boys?
They decide they don't like it that much and they want to have sex with girls.
Yes! Ding, 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 ding! Oh my God, I love it. We just high-fived over the mic.
Yes, we did.
Another thing that could happen is, I don't know, you could get pregnant. You could need birth control. You could, you know, want to have sex with a boy and continue to get your degree or continue to pursue your career or travel internationally.
Or have a beautiful, active, healthy sex life and never have children. Because it's not for everybody.
You know, and I'm just so touched by Judge Kavanaugh's commitment to his daughter's sports lives. But, you know, we're just going to, not discuss, apparently, his non-commitment to their healthy, full personhood as creatures who will at some point mm-hmm. enjoy sex. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to pull the I have daughters card,
yeah.
I'm going to pull it right back and be like, and guess what all daughters like? Getting off. Like, eventually, when you're an adult with a consenting partner, this is going to be a thing that you do. And your daughters are going to want reproductive freedom, sir. And they're going to want that.
And the reason why we're talking about this is because he may be a shoe-in for repealing Roe versus Wade, right?
Well, and it's interesting. I was reading a little bit about this. It may not be like an immediate appeal. It may be just more of like a tightening down of states' rights to restrict abortion on a state level.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two different kind of things that we need to think about here, which is that, yeah, they can challenge Roe v. Wade, but they can also just continue to support states' rights to lock down abortion and restrict abortion access within their own state borders, which is pretty crappy.
Well, guess what else I read, which was a case I knew nothing about. I've heard of Roe versus Wade, but have you heard of Griswold versus Connecticut? Mm. Because that's a landmark case. And in 1965, the Supreme Court ruled that a state's ban on the use of contraceptives violated the right to marital privacy. And because Connecticut at the time had a law that criminalized the encouragement or the use of birth control. I know.
Sorry.
It prohibited any person from using any drug or instrument for the purpose of preventing contraception. So it was a landmark case because birth control was considered something that it was private and everyone should have access to it. So what some people have said on some of the message boards that I've been reading about Kavanaugh's nomination is that not only should you be worried about Roe versus Wade with his appointment, if he gets appointed, but you should be worried about Griswold versus Connecticut getting reversed. And you should also even take it a step further and worry about equal rights for all kinds of marriages.
Okay.
At the time when it prevailed that it was okay to have contraception in the Griswold case, right?
Nice.
Can you imagine,
them.
Right?
Yeah.
The court held that the statute was unconstitutional because the clear effect of the court law was to deny disadvantaged citizens access to medical assistance and up-to-date information about proper methods of birth control. And so you know that if you don't have a lot of money, you don't have a lot of resources, you're the person who's going to get hit the hardest by any kind of abortion issue.
Yeah.
Right?
That is something I've been thinking about so much because as a married woman with an IUD, a married white woman with an IUD who is middle class, I would say, comfortably middle class, I am not necessarily the person who is going to be hit hardest if Roe v. Wade is overturned or if Griswold is challenged or if, you know, reproductive rights in general go on the chopping block again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because people like me have always been able to get abortions. People like me have right. always been able to get birth control.
You can find the
they
money.
They did it outside the law, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of one of those like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But she has so much potential. You know, like.
Right, right, right. You're talking about people who might already be marginalized or have less access and
exactly.
less opportunities.
Exactly.
And then they might just be stuck with a situation. Right?
I cannot even tell you how personal this feels. Like as a mom by choice, I know how much I resent my children on a daily basis for holding me back from living my best life.
I can always – I should know that you're about to say something opposite of what I expect. Or
no, but seriously, yeah. I resent my children every single day when I'm trying to write an email and they're like, Mom, I need you to wipe my butt. And I'm like, you're six. Wipe your own butt. Like it's real. Parents of six-year-olds, you get this. Mm-hmm. You just turned six. You have to teach them how to do that.
Yeah,
instead
true.
Of doing literally anything else that you would rather do, you have to do that. And I resent them. And I wanted these pregnancies and I went out and got these pregnancies. But imagine
yeah.
if you didn't pick this pregnancy.
Right.
And this is a child who is going to be just as annoying as a wanted child from time to time.
Maybe more.
Possibly more, depending on their personality and your personality.
And your resentment level.
And your resentment level and your exhaustion level and how many jobs you're working and how much sleep you're getting and how much nutrition you're able to provide yourself and your child. Like, there are so many factors here. And it makes me so angry to think about all of these women who are going to just be smothering in resentment, and they're not going to have the relationship with the kids that you want them to have or that they want to have, and they're not going to have the lives that they want to have, all because you thought you knew better than she did. And not only did you, like, judge her choices, but you made her choices fucking illegal.
Well,
like, that is what really kills me.
Well, also what kills me is that even Republican women and probably a lot of conservative women have used birth control.
Of
and
course.
So do their daughters. So mm-hmm. what is the plan there? And some people I've seen writing on these boards, and I don't just troll and like look at boards. I read news articles and then I kind of read the comments because I want to know. You know this.
No, I know you.
Anyone who listens to this knows I do this because
Renita
I want
a comment reader.
I am a comment reader. My sister is not. I don't think you are as much. Or
it depends on the article.
Yeah.
If it's about a high school student who's been gang raped, I'm like no. Not reading the comments
no,
on that.
No, no, no. But I'll roll up my sleeves. I'm like, this will be good. Yeah. I'll crack open a whatever that is.
No, you one know what those... you know what you crack open. It's like.
What's that?
I'm opening an ice cream bar.
Oh, yeah.
I'm opening a Häagen-Dazs ice cream
yes,
bar.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Although that's seasonal, and I feel like I've changed. But I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
So IUDs. All these women are writing on these boards. Better go out and get your IUD now.
I have an IUD.
They're good for X amount of years. You know, mm-hmm. the copper ones or the Mirena ones. Get them now. Get your kids, like, let them know what's going on. Go buy condoms. Go get a whole bunch of morning after pills just in case because you don't know what's going to happen.
Although, did you hear about the woman who she was going to get? She had, like, a really early pregnancy that was not viable. And so her doctor gave her a choice to either do a surgical abortion or a pill abortion. Mm-hmm. And she chose the pill, mm-hmm. as I think most of us would. Mm-hmm. And she went to the pharmacy to get her medicine with her other child, her older child, in hand. And the pharmacist refused to dispense this pill to her because he didn't agree with it.
What state
was
that?
Totally fine. It is totally fine. And let me check.
Wait, it's currently totally fine?
Totally fine. A pharmacist doesn't have to dispense a medication that he doesn't fucking agree with. And there was another pharmacist working there in the same store that did not step up and say like, hey, I agree with this. I will be happy to She's there at the pharmacy. You're in line at the pharmacy with your older kid. You already know how fucking miserable that is. There is an unviable pregnancy growing in your body.
Oh my gosh, so what did she do?
You're a fucking mess. She had to go call her doctor and say, please call this into a different fucking pharmacy and make sure that the pharmacist is actually going to fill it for me because I am not doing this shit again.
Jeez. And it's already so emotional.
And stressful. And like, this exists today. This is not like, oh, if he gets confirmed, pharmacists will be able to deny women treatment. We're there. We're mm-hmm. already there. It just feels like leave my body the fuck alone. Like, leave me alone. You don't need to tell the pregnant woman to stop smoking. You're not her doctor. You're not her partner. You're not her. You don't get to do that. You don't get to tell me what medicine my doctor has told me to take. Well, you don't like it. You don't have to fucking take it, bro. Get out of here.
Yeah. Out of the pharmacy.
And I just had my hair cut.
Wait,
and
is this our, what's
no,
that?
What? I'm bringing it back.
Okay.
I'll tie it up nice.
Go on.
I just had my haircut, and in the chair next to me, there was a guy getting his haircut, and he was a real operator. You could tell from this guy.
Are you trying to tell me that he was hitting on you?
No. He was hitting on the girl cutting his hair.
Oh.
Which is fucking gross. Okay?
Well,
he
I mean.
He was like 60.
Oh, okay.
She was like 25.
Ew.
She was like wearing a cute outfit.
A hair cutting outfit.
She had like an apron on.
Yeah.
And he was like, every time she would move around to get something, he would fully lean to check out her ass.
Jeez.
Leaning like half out of the chair, looking over his shoulder to like check out her ass
in
the mirror.
Did you do something?
I stared at him with eyes of rage, of lady rage, hot lady rage. And at one point he looked over at me and I was giving him the eyes.
Which you're kind of giving me now.
Cartoon eyes, which I'll have to take a picture of and post on our Facebook page. But it was like, what are you doing?
Did she ever notice?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was not comfortable. She was very uncomfortable. But it's like, what are you going to do? You have to cut this. Like, this is your job. You have to cut this guy's hair. So to him, I also say, not your body, not your business. Get your face out of her butt. Like, that is a violation. And it's not a violation on the same scale as, outlawing a woman's right to access birth control or to make decisions about her own body. Mm-hmm. But like, when you put someone like that, guys, if you think the girl cutting your hair is cute, keep it in your pants. Keep your eyes forward, mister.
Mm-hmm.
If she's interested in you, she will let
you definitely
know.
Definitely, she will let you know.
Do not. That's so shitty. It's like hitting on someone in an elevator or a subway. Like, it is, well, so wrong,
you know,
to like trap somebody like that.
I think there's still sort of an understanding, or maybe it's implied that you just have to pursue someone harder, especially if it's a woman, because maybe they don't know that they like you.
Well, and she just doesn't know any better.
She doesn't know any better, and you kind of have to convince her. Similarly, women may not know what's best for their bodies or their babies,
of
right?
Of course they don't.
It's the same thing.
Of course they don't.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Well, and I'll tell you what was really upsetting, to go back to that first Facebook group.
Yeah.
What was really upsetting was to find out in this group where there has been nothing but like 100% support for a woman's right to choose. There was so much animosity for this woman who was getting through her pregnancy as she chose to.
Right.
As she fucking chose to. Whether or not I agree with her choices is so far beyond the point. It is not even in the ballpark. It's not even in the parking lot. It's not even in the zip code, okay? It's not my business. It's not my body. It's not my baby. I don't care. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like...
And this is different. This is different from maybe seeing someone smack a baby or...
Yes,
actually see
exactly.
someone mishandle a baby that's out on the outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or
completely different.
It's interesting too if you think about it, like where do we draw the line? You know, what would you do? What do we consider dangerous and where do we all get too uncomfortable?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
In this position, we don't have the whole story. We don't know exactly what was going on. For all we know, it wasn't even hers.
For all we know, she could have already had a loss.
Right.
She could be carrying a child that's not going to live outside the womb and she's stressed. And this is something that she is doing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know.
So did you exit that group for a little while? Or
yeah, what? I muted the group for a little while.
You muted the echo chamber.
I muted the echo chamber because when – I don't believe that everything should be an echo chamber. But when your echo chamber becomes – and it's like when you find out that your family disagrees with something that you really care about.
Right.
Or when you find out that you're a partner – and you disagree with something politically that's very important to you. Or, you know, anytime you discover something that you thought was, like, trustworthy and you find out that it's not for whatever reason, that wasn't a really good sentence.
Welcome to my world.
It's
I don't
hard.
Always have the good it's, sentences.
It is hard. And I do feel – I mean, it was a Facebook group. I'm not crying into my cocoa here. But, mm-hmm. like, I was just like, nah, this isn't why I joined this group. I did not join this group for spirited debate among women about whether women should get to make choices about their bodies. Strange women who are not in the group,
mm-hmm.
strange pregnant women that nobody knows were like having in-depth conversations about it. And the other thing that was interesting about this conversation is that people who were supporting this woman's right to do whatever the fuck she wants in her pregnancy found themselves defending smoking while pregnant.
Oh, that's
right?
Interesting. Yeah.
We're like, well, it's not that bad after the first trimester. You know, it's like, it's like you have to keep saying, like, I wouldn't do that. But the point is not, is her behavior okay? The point is it okay for me to intervene in her behavior? It's even okay for you to judge her behavior quietly, silently, invisibly,
sure.
to your friends, wherever. But, like, it's not okay for you to judge her out loud. It's not okay for you to shame her.
So back to Kavanaugh, I think that the main reason why Trump would never say this, but the reason why he loves Kavanaugh so much, we all suspect, is because Kavanaugh has said that he doesn't believe a sitting president should be impeached. Trump needs a Supreme Court that can enable him to pardon himself. And so Kavanaugh's been noted as saying in the past that, or writing an opinion in the past, that a sitting president shouldn't be impeached. They shouldn't be distracted by those kinds of crazy legal issues. Although, apparently, in an earlier opinion, Kavanaugh once laid the grounds for impeaching President Bill Clinton. So,
yes.
You know, right?
I know.
So
yeah.
It's kind of, you know, it's
he's,
more of the same.
Apparently, he's quite an operator. Apparently,
is
he's
he?
Like he's like a DC guy. He's
mm-hmm.
like, he's
he went
been
to
auditioning
a,
for this for a long
he
time.
He went to a really good school, I heard.
Yep.
I heard he was a straight A student.
Yep.
He's
like, you know, Trump, he's like a top shelf Trump pick, you know, he's like, I teach at Yale and
but,
like, cool.
But what was, when he rolled out this nomination, this announcement, I think some of what I read talked about how it was a very even keeled for Trump sort of rollout,
American people, blah, blah, I'm really making a good decision, blah,
I
blah.
I will say.
We like it because he's a good guy, but really he's like, yes, I will not get impeached.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I was, and I will say in the spirit of fairness, I was impressed by the fact that Trump read accurately from a teleprompter.
That's true.
Good job.
Good job. No, that's true. He did not go off script.
It cost me a lot to say that.
Yeah.
You read accurately a script that was prepared for you by someone who knows grammar. So good job.
Mazel tov.
Buddy. Better than the huge. I do want to just...
Yeah.
I don't want to like have two conversations at the same time, but I am aware of being a woman on a podcast screaming about my right to make decisions about my own body. Like, I'm aware that that is not a new conversation.
What, you don't feel original?
I don't feel original, and I'm not original. I think that's kind of the point. Like, this is, but it's so, the reason that we have to keep yelling into microphones about this is because it is still not fixed. It is still not better. And every time you see these little infringements on freedom for women or for people of color or for gay people or for, you know, a gay person who wants to adopt a child or anytime you see those little infringements, just imagine what that feels like to be told that you don't have the freedom to make choices about your own life and your own body. I mean, the myth of America is that we're free. That is the myth of America. And there's this great new podcast by the Crooked Media team. They do Pod Save America. They have a great new podcast called Hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
That's all women. And it is amazing. I highly, highly recommend it.
Is it Hysteria with a Y?
Yep.
Or is it, okay, it's not like a play on words.
No,
like
it's Hysteria. And I love it. And it's a very, very smart, funny podcast. It's brand new. There's only like two episodes out so far. But they said this great thing on their 4th of July episode that we're all free to degrees in America, from extremely free to not at all free, to to in jail, never going to see a lawyer, never going to have the right to a trial. You're just there for the rest of your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to plead to people who don't usually engage in conversations about reproductive freedom or any kind of right that you've heard people yell about a million times before. Like, please, please listen to us.
You have to.
Please listen to us. I am a person. I have thoughts and feelings and dreams and things I want to do and choices I want to make for myself. And nobody else should get to make them for me.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Please listen to us. Please help us do this. Because if it's just the women marching, it's just a girl march. Right? Like, we need help. And women marching is incredibly powerful, but to this establishment, it's like, oh, is there a Girl Scout convention in town? Like, they don't look at women marching in the streets and think like, oh, this is a force that needs to be reckoned with. They think like, oh, they're having a party. They're probably exchanging manicure tips. And you know what? We are. But we're also out here talking about issues that are really, really important. But we need allies who those establishment guys who Kavanaugh is going to look at and think like, well, that's what a leader looks like. That's somebody I need to take seriously. We need you. We need you.
Activate. We have to actually exist on the radar, right?
Did an activate noise.
Yeah, I like that.
I activate you. Please care.
Oh, wait. Now
please
I'm doing the noise and you're not doing it.
Okay, no, go. Okay.
Ready? Activate.
Bing. I don't know. Were they muffins or robotics? You just heard Mouthy, Messy, Mandatory with Katie
and Ronit.
A Large Media production. That's L-A-R-J, large. And if you like this episode or want to follow up on anything that we talked about, come find us at facebook.com/mouthymessymandatory. Or tweet at us. We're at Mouthy Podcast on Twitter.